Please welcome Chris McKinney.
Act the way you want to be, and soon you'll be the way you'd like to act. Bob Dylan said that. Perhaps that's the philosophy that motivates parents to participate in the religious indoctrination of their offspring. Or maybe it's just tradition that they do it, or maybe it's their own faith. Regardless, I'm sure my parents had good intentions when they enrolled me in catechism classes at the age of 9 in 1954 in Chicago Heights, Illinois, at St. Ambrose Anglican Catholic Church. The word catechism means instruction of Christian disciples in the building blocks of the faith. Now, in the Anglican Catechism, we had to learn by rote the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, which are statements of belief, also the seven sacraments, the Lord's Prayer, and the Ten Commandments. And once you learned those by rote, then you studied the meaning behind all of them. So it was pretty intense for a kid, for a 9-year-old. And I studied out of the Book of Common Prayer as well as the King James Version of the Bible. And I can remember sitting in the kitchen with my mom quizzing me and reciting certain things, answering her questions. I mean, it seemed like I was studying catechism for a year, although I'm sure it didn't go on nearly that long. But the catechism was in preparation for confirmation. Confirmation is the kind of the solidifying of your baptism. It's the sealed covenant of baptism. It completes the thing. So once you're confirmed, you are then a member for life of the Anglican Church, and you can partake in first in Holy Communion. So in with the children who went through the whole class with me, it was a big event. It was a ceremony that they called Confirmation and First Holy Communion. And this is what we were working up to with our catechism, and we were like little brides walking down the aisle toward the bishop in the front of the church with our white dresses and our white gloves, carrying our prayer books, and some of us had little headbands with veils, and I mean, it was quite a ritual. So you got to the front of the church, and you sat in the pews and mass, and then the bishop, who was visiting for the occasion, would ask you questions, and you would answer the questions, and then when you passed, you were confirmed, and you got to partake in your first Holy Communion. And it was a big deal. The church was full of family and friends, and then there was always a party in the basement afterwards with food and everything. Well, part of the ritual of communion, whether it's your first one or not, is confession. And often congregants, since the church services were on Sundays, congregants would go to confession on Saturdays. And whether you've done it or not or seen it in the movies, you know, there's the box with the sinner on one side and the priest on the other, and you confess your sins, and then you're given absolution, maybe a penance, and you're good to go for a week. So I don't think I went to confession at all after I was confirmed. I mean, how much can a 9-year-old sin? But for that event, for that ceremony, we were supposed to go to confession before our confirmation and our first Holy Communion. Well, the rituals and the church hierarchy and the vestments and the pageants, I mean, it was all very overwhelming and very intimidating for me at 9 years old. But I had to go to confession, and I didn't think I had done any sins or done anything bad to confess, so I faked it because I didn't want to get in trouble with anybody for not having any sins to confess. So I used the Ten Commandments as my guide. And, I couldn't very well say that I had coveted my neighbor's wife or committed murder, so I made up things like I took the name of the Lord thy God in vain, and I didn't honor my father and mother, and I disobeyed them, and I stole, and I made all this up because I didn't want to get in trouble for not having any sins to confess. So I suppose in retrospect, I could have actually wrapped it up by saying I lied, because I lied about all of it. But I didn't do that. Anyway, that's how I faked it. Now, as an adult, I like to think of myself as a critical thinker. I accept all viewpoints. I accept all faiths or no faiths. I don't go to church. I'm not not religious in any sense of the word. But I guess I'm spiritual, so you could probably say I'm an agnostic. But I often wonder if that early religious indoctrination did, in fact, contribute to my values. I feel like I'm moral, and I'm honest now, and I am ethical, and certainly it was valuable in terms of historic value, you know, of Christianity. I learned a lot about Christianity, learned a lot about the Church of England. But as Bob Dylan said, act the way you want to be, and soon you'll be the way you'd like to act.